Still not done with this burden. And I want to tell you this morning, if you think you might get drowsy, the best ammunition against getting drowsy is getting into the message this morning and getting into the thought. And I don't know if I'll be able to maintain a level of enthusiasm that will keep you intrigued or not, but I hope that you'll apply yourself to where you would. But in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, we read our verse that we started with. It says in Proverbs 29 and 18, except where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. There is deterioration. There is degrading elements that come in when we do not have a vision for our lives. I've been impressed, as I've already said before, I'm going to read it again. I want us to remember this. Just like my grandpa used to read to me the sixth chapter of Ephesians, where it talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Every time we went there, we had family worship before we went to bed, he read Ephesians chapter 6. And he didn't read the whole chapter, but he just read 6 and 1 and 2, I think. And it became ingrained in our mind, so I want to ingrain these verses in our mind. In Daniel, the 10th chapter, we find in the 7th verse, it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And up above this, in the 2nd verse, it says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. The reason I feel like these verses are important is Daniel was intent on receiving something from the Lord. And when we recognize that we have to have something from the Lord, I believe there's a process, I believe there's a method, I believe there's a technique that we can implement to where God will give us something and reveal His plan for us. There are a lot of things that have unknown, and we don't know the answer. I don't know what life holds. I surrender to the Lord and where He can give me direction. I believe He can give me a vision of what to do in my life. I've spent the last 2 Sundays talking about trying to get us to thinking about the impact of vision. From the time we are first born and come into this world until we are who we are today, have a vision for has dramatically impacted us. If you have a vision that doesn't go any farther than the end of your nose, so to speak, then your life and who you are is a reflection of that kind of vision. That's just the way it happens. I'll read you a definition I found. A vision, according to one dictionary in Scripture, is a revelation from God, an appearance or an exhibition of something supernaturally presented to the minds of the prophets by which they were informed of future events. And I don't know about you, but I've already said this before. I've never had God give me some kind of vision about way off distant things. I'm not that kind of visionary person. But I believe I have a vision. I believe I have a vision of what the Lord wants out of me, what He expects out of me. And I believe all of us can have that. I believe we can hear the still small voice. I believe we can hear the reassurance from the Scriptures of what God wants out of us. And I believe He can direct our vision and help us to understand. I believe that the progress we make in life is because we have a vision for something better. We want to make advancements in our life. We talked about, as we're little children, last Sunday we ended up talking about those years that we spend in the school system, and whether it's public school, private school, home school, whatever. We're going to spend a number of years of our life being directed by others. And during that time, we're going through a transition stage of our parents' vision for us to our vision for ourselves. When we get to the end of our education process, we're going to have, or we should have, a vision developed for ourselves. It's not, I'm just living out what mom and dad wants me to be. That's why you started in life. But now I have a vision for myself. There is something here that I have a perspective about. We pointed out that Jesus in the Luke, the second chapter, at 12 years old, Jesus had a vision of what he was to be doing in life. And we think, well, that's pretty young. But you know, I think back when I was 12 years old, and I had some visions of things I've been able to see happen in my own life. And I believe you have too. You've had some visions back when you were, if you're more than 12, I imagine that you've had visions back when you were, there was something, oh, that's what I want in life. That's the thing that I know the Lord is opening up for me, whatever it is. I spent a little time talking about having a vision for the roles we are to play in life. I believe that we should have a vision for our gender. We live in a world that does not have a vision for gender. They feel like gender is just some kind of ambiguous thing out there that you can choose. And yet they teach us different in the science books. So I believe that we have a lot of distortion in our world today, and it's important for us to have a vision for our roles, for the gender that we are, that God gave us, that God designed us to fulfill. And when we can catch a vision for that, I believe in encouraging little children with gender roles. I believe that. I believe that's part of the parent's responsibility. So I'd like for us to, I said just a minute ago that I believe by the time we get to the end of our education process, I'm only using that because I'm not intent on trying to hinge all of our life on education. I want us just to recognize that's the point in life where we begin to understand that if I'm going to go forward, I have to have a vision. It's beyond mom and dad having a vision for me. I have to have one. So at that's where I want to pick up today, and I want us to recognize that there are several areas that I would like to address, and maybe I'm getting down to what I was really burdened about when I started all this, and that is we have to have a vision in our own lives for spiritual things. We have to have a vision for occupational things. We have to have a vision for marital. We have to have a marital vision. We have to have a vision for parenting. And we have to have a vision of the church. Now, I would just like to say this. Just because we address things in a particular order through the services here doesn't mean that's the way, that's the order that you're going to develop your own visions, okay? But I'm going to tell you, there are highly recommended prerequisites, all right? For instance, it's very important, you young men, for you to develop a vision for employment and an occupation before you ask a young lady to be your wife. All right? It don't always happen that way. But it is important that you cultivate a vision for employment before you start having these visions of having a wife. I'm just telling you, that's the wise thing to do, all right? And it's also important, or it's much better to put off a vision of being married and of being a parent until you have a vision for spiritual things and a vision of the church. It don't always happen that way. In fact, sometimes I think it happens the other way far too often. But it's highly recommended that you have a vision for your spiritual walk with the Lord and a vision of the church before you start having these visions. I'm thinking about, I'm not going to go there because I can't remember the whole story, but there's something in literature about or somebody having visions of some kind of little, anyway, visions of plum pudding or something like that. You know, we can start having visions in our mind about things sometimes, and we can get, as the old saying is, the cart before the horse. And I'm going to tell you, you want to have a stable life, you want to have a life that the Lord can utilize to a greater extent, get your spiritual vision sharpened up. Get it cleared up. I don't know how my eyeballs have done it for so many years, but these things get scummy and I've got to clean them off ever so often because it gets to where everything starts looking hazy and I can't get enough light, and I take them off and I start looking and my, there's a layer or something on there and I've got to clean it off. But it's important for us to get our vision just as good as possible. And our vision is something that, it's just like we tried to say at the very beginning, once we attain a level in our vision, there's going to be something else that we can see. You know, we think if you ever drive out in the mountains, sometimes you get on a long grade and you think, surely we're at the top. And we can see so far around us, you feel like you're at the top of the mountain. There's roads out there like this. And I'm going to tell you, if you let off of the accelerator, you're going to start rolling backwards. You're not at the top yet. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And that's the way it is with our vision. There's times you're going to come up to a sharp grade and it's like, wow, it's up there somewhere. And when you get up there, there may be a time that you feel like you're, well, I've arrived. I've got a vision now. But listen, we can't let off the gas, so to speak. There is more that the Lord wants to reveal to us, and we have to keep our vision healthy. And in one of those areas is our spiritual vision. I'd like for us to go to Genesis, the second chapter, and read the 7th verse. And notice beginning that mankind's makeup is unique to everything else that God made. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, he says, "The Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul." Every one of us here today has a living soul. The Lord blessed mankind with a living soul. He did not give that to any other creature out there in this world. And I'd like to turn now to Psalms, the 56th Psalm, and begin reading in verse 10. In Psalms 56, beginning in verse 10. I've got to get to Psalms. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" It's important for us that we walk before God is in the light of the living. For some reason, this doesn't seem like the verse I had in mind, but Lord, help us here. It is important for us to recognize that we have a spiritual walk with the Lord. It's not just all about going to our jobs. It's not all about just having the food on the table and the clothes on our back and all of that. But there is another dimension to humanity rather than just this literal life. All right? I'd like for us to turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. And notice here in Luke, the 12th chapter, I believe this is something that Jesus' words will begin in verse 1. He says, "In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, there's a lot of people here. They was just kind of stepping on one another and bumping into each other and maybe stepping on one another's toes. I don't know what was happening here, but there was a crowd around Jesus. And Jesus said, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He said, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. But I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." I read these verses because I want us to get a hold of the concept. I want our vision to be illuminated that we are not just like the other creatures that God created. We're a twofold being. We have an inner man. He said he breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul. And here he says, don't be afraid of somebody that can just take your mortal life. But here's what you do need to be afraid of. Be afraid of the thing of those that would have the power not only to take your literal life, but to cause the inner man to suffer through eternity. There's an inner part of us. I want our vision to be illuminated, just like we, as the other verse says, that we may walk before God in the light of the living. He's talking about a spiritual life there. We have a spiritual component that is part of humanity, all right? We have a soul, and I want our vision to be include that. There are many people in our world today that don't acknowledge the existence of their own soul. Yes. They don't really acknowledge that. They try to discredit it. They try to downplay it. They try to explain it and excuse it away. They try to ignore the fact that God breathed into them the breath of life and they became a living soul. We must have a vision today in our mind. If we don't have a vision, we're going to perish. We're going to lose out. We're going to forget what God is there for. But we must have a vision that I'm a twofold creature. I have a spiritual component that has to be taken care of just like my literal body. I can't allow it to starve to death. I can't put it out in the elements to where it gets suffers destruction. But without a vision, Proverbs says, the people perish. Without a vision of I am a spiritual being as well as a literal being, I'm going to perish. I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And I really don't know where to stop reading on this chapter. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. And folks, everything seems to just go along so smooth in service till I get here and then I feel like I'm in a race. So he says, beginning in verse 1, he says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by the revelation he had made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words." You know, if you don't have a vision, everything is just a mystery. I don't know. I can't see. You know, I don't. There's something going into that little black box, and there's something coming out of it. But I don't know what's going on inside, you see. He says, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when we read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. He's using this word mystery a lot here. Why is it? Because if you don't have a vision, it's all mystery. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how why some people do this. I'm going to tell you, it's because you don't have a vision. We've got to have a vision of spiritual things, or it just looks mysterious. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There's a spiritual vision that we must have, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's beginning now to tell us what the mystery is. He's beginning to tell us what his vision is, that this the Gentiles can be fellow heirs with the Jews. All right? He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Here's that word again. The fellowship of the mystery. See, if we don't have a vision, it's just vague. It's mysterious. I don't know what's out there. But he says, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the eternal purpose? What's your vision of it? I hope you got a vision today that we are a spiritual creature as well as a literal creature, that God wants to have a relationship with you as an individual. It's not some kind of absurd, weak-minded people or something like that need a crutch. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about us having a real, live, spiritual man that we have to keep in contact with the Lord. And if we don't have a vision of that, it's all going to die. We're going to lose it. And our nation, by and large, has lost it. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. If we have a vision, we can step out in confidence. If people don't have a vision, what do? They draw back. They're not going to step out on something. He says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Do you have a vision of that? He wants us to have a vision that our inner man, that one that was breathed into us, the breath of life, and we become a living soul. He wants our inner man to be strengthened. It's according to the riches of his glory, with his might, that we could be strengthened in the inner man. The 17th verse says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You know, if you're going to have a vision, you're going to have a picture in your mind of how big this thing is. And he says, he wants to, the 17th verse says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. I'll say to you this morning that the Lord wants us to have a vision of what this is all about. He wants us to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. There's a lot of people, if you tell them, well, it was about 4 foot tall, they really don't know what that is. They don't know, was it this tall? Is that 4 feet tall? Now I'm talking about from here to here. Is that 4 feet tall? No, it's not. Is this 4 feet tall? Is it more or less? It's close. I'd say it's a little less. 4 feet tall is probably about like this. But see, if you don't know, if you don't have something, if you don't have a vision in your mind, then dimensions don't mean anything. If you ask somebody, well, how long did it make that noise? Oh, I don't know, maybe a minute or two. And actually, it was probably, and that was it. That's all it was. And that's not a minute by anybody's clock. But if we don't have a vision of what a spiritual life is, and we can't picture what it's like to be in a relationship with God and to be alive in Him, yes, it's all going to disappear. But we must have a vision of that. And the sooner we get one, the better it is. He says here, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, it goes beyond some kind of superficial thing that we can see with our literal eyes, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Do you have a vision of that? That we, as humans, can be filled, this inner man can be filled with the goodness and the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I believe this whole chapter is true. I believe we must have a vision of spiritual life. If we don't have a spiritual life vision, we're going to start throwing everything over the side. But when we have a vision, that's when we begin to grow in grace and knowledge. And we got to have a vision first, though. But if you don't have a vision, if you just don't see it, be like Daniel. Spend 3 weeks of fasting and prayer. I believe the Lord will show you something. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. How do we cultivate this vision? We know what this scripture says. It's been quoted in this chapel many times. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, study to shew yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are we going to cultivate this vision? How do we develop one? He says, study to shew ourselves approved unto who? We go through school studying to show ourselves approved to the instructors, or maybe to our supervisors or whatever. But he says here, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. May the Lord help us to get a vision, to study. Lord, help me to be like Daniel. If it takes me dedicating and devoting more of my time, if it takes me laying aside whatever thing I might do for recreation or entertainment, Lord, help me to lay it aside. I want to have a vision that'll serve me good. I'm going to tell you, those of us that's had really good vision, when it starts deteriorating, we're missing something. It's just something that it's difficult for us to adjust. It's just like, well, things aren't like they used to be. I want to have that kind of, I want to have a spiritual vision that does not deteriorate. Yes. I want to read Romans, the 8th chapter. Start reading in the 24th verse, Romans 8. He says here, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. We got to have a vision. If you can put your hands on it, it's not a vision. He says, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If you have a vision, you're going to have a goal. If you have a vision of life with the Lord, you're going to have a goal to work towards. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We must have a vision of the Lord working things out according to his will. It's going to help us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. My point here is, do we have a vision that God really is going to work out whatever calamity we have to be good for us? That's a pretty tough one sometimes. Lord, I don't see how anything good can come out of this. And sometimes we say that to not only to ourselves, but to other people. I don't see how anything good can come out of this. Well, you know, those people didn't think anything good could come out of Nazareth either, but it did. And I believe that our troubles sometimes, the Lord can work prosperity out of it that we don't hardly envision in our own self. But Lord, help me to have a perspective or a vision that the Lord wants me to have about spiritual things. So we tried to introduce the idea today, number one, that we are a twofold creature. Number two, that we must cultivate a vision. We must study to shew ourselves. We must get a hold of something where we have a vision of the height and the breadth and the length and the depth. Be able to picture a life with the Lord. And now I'd like for us to ask you to consider a few thoughts here about a vision of where this spiritual life is going to take us in the end. Matthew 25 in verse 33, beginning. Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin reading in verse 33. He says, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Do you have a vision of that? Is your vision stuck back there where we just know we've got a soul and we got a carcass that we live in? Is it? Do you have that vision in your mind? Do you have a vision of having a real life with the Lord? Do you understand the dimensions of what the reality of living for God means? Do you have a vision there? And now I'm asking us, do we have a vision of where it's going to take us? You know, we need a vision of what the end result is going to be. So here he says, he sets the sheep on one side and the goats on the left. And he says, 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick in the prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, if you don't have a spiritual vision of the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of living for God, it's going to be hard for us to envision how we're working for the Lord. And here he says, you were faithful. You had a vision of what the dimensions of living for me was. And now here's the reward. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Have you got a vision of going to heaven? I hope you do. That's part of the spiritual vision that we ought to have. It goes beyond just recognizing I got a soul. But I've got a soul that I want to see eternally secure. Don't you? Now I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Notice something the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15. Y'all bear with me here. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 17. He says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." You got a vision of that? If Christ, Paul is reasoning with them. Paul was good at reasoning. And he says, if Christ is not raised, then you're still in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ didn't arise, those that have passed away, they're just gone. But there's more to it. There's a spiritual vision we must have. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of men, all men, most miserable. If this is the only thing we can see in our minds, if the only vision we have, this is a miserable existence. But now, he says, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, that's Jesus Christ. He says here, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And then skip down to verse 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We can be born again. We can have a spiritual vision of life with God, and not only just a life with God and recognizing I got a soul, but we can have a vision of being in eternal heaven with God. How's our vision this morning? And then in 2 Timothy, I want to go back there and read up above that 2 and 15 verse. I want us to read 2 and 11 starting. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What's he talking about there? We're talking about living and dead, all this. He said, for if we be dead with him, if we be dead to sin, we shall be also alive with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know that the vision is available to every one of us. And if we refuse to get a vision, if we refuse to be like Daniel and saying, Lord, I need a vision, a spiritual vision for myself. That's what we're talking about this morning. And Daniel, he spent 3 weeks in preparation before the Lord really gave him what he needed. He says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. You know Jesus is going to be there for those that will get a vision? He's going to be there for you. If everybody around us don't have a vision, he'll still be there for you. Of these things, put them in remembrance. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to remind us that we need to have a spiritual vision of what Jesus came. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. There's a lot of arguments that's going to go on all around us that's going to try to tear down and destroy and make our vision ineffective. But we can't listen to that. We've got to be like Daniel and say, Lord, Daniel was the only one that seen that vision. You remember? He was the only one that seen that vision. And you may feel like you're the only one in your generation or the only one in your neighborhood or the only one in your family or whatever. But Lord, help us to get a vision of a spiritual life with God. It's going to mean the salvation of our souls. I'd like to turn now to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Talking about a vision of the end of where this all takes us. Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 5th verse. Beginning here. Verse But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Do you have a vision of being able to reign with Christ and to be kings and priests? Do you have a vision of the second death, of the judgment day and casting into torment all of those that have refused to have a vision? Do you have a vision of that not having any effect on you? I'd like to go back to Revelations, the first chapter, and begin reading in the 4th verse. He says here, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Doesn't that sound like what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15? I know I'm covering a lot of ground here. Y'all have to put your thinking caps on. The prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Have you got a vision of a spiritual life with God and being able to be kings and priests with God and his Father? Unto God and his Father forever and ever. Have you got a vision of that? I hope you do. I hope that you have a vision for your own soul of having a life with God now and having an eternity with him throughout ages without end. Can we stand and sing number 200?